following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
Well, hey guys, for those of you who don't know me, my name is David and I am the high school director here at Refuge. And I'm really excited to be here with you guys bringing the word again. And when they asked me to teach tonight, I was really excited because already back in the youth, we're going through a series called Unwrapping Christmas. So we've already been going through the Christmas accounts back in youth. And so this fits perfectly with the theme of what you guys are already doing here on Sundays and Wednesdays as well. So if you guys have your Bibles, why don't you open them up to Luke chapter 2. We are going to be looking at verses 25 through 32. And if you guys have been here, like I said, we've been going through the Christmas accounts here on our Sunday services or in our Sunday services. And if you guys have been here since the beginning, you know that Bill taught initially and he taught on the fathers of Christmas. And he went through different fathers that were in the Christmas account, but then he pointed to the ultimate father being God, right, who would send his son Jesus down. And that's the reason for the season, as Rick had said, even in the announcements. And then the week after that, we had Jonathan Ferguson, who is our junior high pastor. Awesome. And he was talking about that Jesus, when he came onto the scene, it wasn't some random event, but it was something that it says that Jesus came in the fullness of time. And it was amazing. He took us through different prophecies and we saw all these different prophecies that Jesus himself fulfilled just by his birth. Awesome. And then last Sunday, Jeff brought the word and it was an awesome word. And I loved just the main point of his message was that Jesus came for you and me. And I know we hear this all the time, but I think lots of times we do a blanket statement and we go, you know what? Jesus came for mankind. And he did. But I like how Jeff, it was more personal. It was Jesus came for you. He knows exactly where you're at and he came for you. And so as I was kind of praying and going, well, God, what would you have me to teach? So I've already taught a couple of Christmas-themed sermons back in the youth, and then here you guys have already been going through it. And so as I was reading through, Matthew chapter 1 and 2 and Luke chapter 1 and 2, you know, the Christmas account, I came across this guy named Simeon. And I've read about him before. I'm sure we know who Simeon is. But it's really interesting because I feel like here's a man that we kind of leave out a lot of the times. And so as the more I was reading about Simeon, I was very convinced that this was the direction that God wanted me to go. And it's really interesting because not much is known about this man at all other than what Scripture reveals to us. And so if you guys have been in church, did anybody grow up in church when they were younger or growing up? If you guys have grown up in church, you probably heard a lot of different sermons where it was, this is the Christmas story and we're going to emphasize Mary and how she was feeling. Or maybe we're going to emphasize Joseph and what was going on in his mind, you know, during all these events. Or maybe the shepherds, we did that back in the youth, or the magi. Well, tonight, I want to see what the Christmas story looks like through the eyes of this man named Simeon. And I think it's amazing. Jesus came over 2,000 years ago. This event we talk about still today, right? Because it is humongous, absolutely humongous. And so I want to look at Simeon's, just a small portion of Simeon's life right here. And I want to see what we can learn from him, characteristics that we can learn and that we can also apply to our lives. And so I've entitled this message, Simeon Says. So if you guys are there with me, again, at Luke chapter 2, verse 25 to 32. We're going to read it starting from verse 25 all the way down to 32, and then we'll pray. Verse 25 says, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in this child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God. He blessed God and said, 'Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel.'" Let's pray. Father God, it is amazing what you have done. God, the fact that you would come down, the fact that you would humble yourself, that you would die for us, that you would live for us, God. And then you didn't stop there, but then you equipped us and you actually want to use us in this, God, just even in our walks to be able to share the love and the hope that we have. And so, Father, I pray as we just spend time looking into your word, that Holy Spirit, that you would fill us, that you would prompt us to be people who share this hope boldly, God, not just with our words, but our actions, that we'd be good witnesses. And so, Father, please speak a word to us tonight because we need you. We love you and we ask this in your name. Amen. Looking at verse 25 again, it says, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him." Now, as I was studying, tradition says that Simeon was a really old dude. I mean, like, it says that he was 113 years old. Now, this is tradition, so it's not biblical canon, right? This isn't something that's like we know for a fact. Regardless if he's old or not, it's not really a significant importance. But something that we do know of Simeon is that it says that he was a just man. He was just and devout, meaning he was somebody who was righteous in the eyes of God. He was somebody who was a God-fearing man. And so most likely this old Simeon, this God-fearing man, he was waiting for the consolation of Israel, which is another word for another way of saying the messianic hope. In other words, he was waiting for Christ. He was waiting for the Messiah. He was waiting for the one who would come to right all the wrongs, to come to seek and save sinners, right? He was waiting for that Messiah. And this is awesome. This word waiting in verse 25, it's not something that's passive. It's not like he's sitting down on the lazy boy lounge chair, right? And going, oh, you know, when's he coming? But he's waiting actively. There's a sense of expectancy. You know, he's waiting with assurance that this Messiah will actually come. And it says at the end of it, it says, "And the Holy Spirit was upon him." The Holy Spirit was upon him. And I just love this picture that's painted for us of Simeon, right even here in this first verse that we're looking at. Okay, here's a man, again, possibly, tradition says he's old. So here's a man who's possibly very old in age, and instead of throwing in the towel, I'm done, I've had a long life, right? We see him pursuing after the Lord. We see him looking unto the Lord, right? He's actively waiting for the Lord's coming. His heart was prepared for the Lord's coming. His heart was prepared for this Messiah. And I love this too, because the fact that Simeon was expecting this Messiah to come showed that he wasn't just a man who was familiar with the scriptures, but he was a man who believed them, right? Because if Simeon didn't believe that the Messiah was coming, if he didn't truly trust in the Old Testament scriptures, what we would call the Old Testament scriptures, if he truly didn't trust that, there's no way he's going to be waiting around for it, right? And I love it because here we see Simeon's belief prompts his actions, right? I love that. He was prepared. He was not going to miss the coming or this consolation of Israel. And so I want to move on to verse 26, and this is where we see the promise. This is where we see the promise. Verse 26, it says, "And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ." And so here we have, again, the promise. We've already established that Simeon was a righteous man, right? That he was a God-fearing man, someone who was seeking after the Lord. But now God has revealed to him that he was not going to see death until he actually got to see this Messiah with his own eyes, until he saw the Lord's Christ. And I just want to pause here for a second. I want us to kind of put ourselves in Simeon's shoes or sandals, right? Because they weren't strolling around in Nikes. But just right here, you are of possibly, okay, possibly, you are of old age. For some of you, might be a little bit easier to you know, relate to. Others, not so much. But you're a well-studied person in the scriptures. You know the Bible. You know the word of God. You've been seeking the Lord, right? So you're familiar with the scriptures. And one day you're going about your normal routine. You're already waiting for this coming Messiah because you believe the scriptures, but you're waiting, and one day again, out of your normal routine, God approaches you. I don't know how that happens. The Bible doesn't really reveal what that looked like, but God says, Simeon, you will not taste death, or put yourself in his shoes. You will not taste death. You will not see death until you see this coming Messiah, the consolation of Israel, the one that would bring comfort, the one, again, that we said that would save. Now, I don't know about you guys, but if we were honest with ourselves, okay, putting ourselves in his shoes again, if God spoke to you in such a way, like something that huge, you got to understand that people all throughout the Old Testament, the prophets, they longed to see the Savior. They longed to see the Messiah. And now God is telling Simeon, this man who is a righteous man, but he's a man, he's normal, right? He's not like a superhuman Thor kind of type guy, right? With special privileges. He's a normal guy. I got to imagine, like, if we're putting ourselves in his shoes again, like, did I hear him correctly? Did I hear God correctly? Am I truly going to see this Messiah? But I love how Simeon was sensitive to the Lord. I love how to the Lord's voice, because it says he believed, right? He believed this. And so just as Simeon was waiting for the coming Messiah because he believed in the scriptures, now he's even his belief is even spurred on even more, because God said, not only are you, not only were you waiting for this Messiah, but now I'm telling you, you will actually get to see this Messiah. He took it as a promise, right? He took it completely as a promise. And this is the same Messiah, like I said, that people had longed to see their whole life. And God's saying, it is you though, Simeon. You're the one that gets to see him. You're the one that gets to see him. And we got to imagine, like, what an amazing privilege that is, right? All through, you read in the Old Testament, and you see these prophets, and some of the prophets that are prophesying about Jesus, they don't even know what they don't have full understanding of even what it means yet, right? But they know that there is going to be a time when Messiah will come to right every wrong. These are people who have been through so much, and God comes to him and says, you, Simeon, you get to be the one. I am promising you. Take it to the bank, pretty much is what he's saying, right? I love that. So verse 26, we see the promise. Now I want to look at verse 27, literally the very, very first part of verse 27, where we're going to see the prompting, okay, the Lord's prompting. Verse 27, in the very beginning, says, so he came by the Spirit into the temple. And we're just going to stop there real quick. It doesn't record for us how much time has already passed, okay? How long has he been waiting, right, before the Lord prompted him to go into the temple? But again, regardless of how long he was waiting, we know that he was waiting. We know that Simeon was a waiter, right? He was somebody who trusted the Lord. God, I believe your promises. I believe your word. Therefore, I will wait. Again, his belief, his faith in God and in the scriptures and in what God had said spurred on action once again. And I love it, because here again, we're confronted with the character of Simeon. Once again, right here, confronted with the character of Simeon. He was a man after God's own heart. Now, for those of you in here who are believers, we know that God, like we talk about that still small voice, right? When God speaks to you and his spirit just spurs you on to go and talk to that person, to pray, to share the gospel with somebody, right? We know that if we want to discern what the Lord wants for us and wants us to do, we have to be in fellowship with him, right? We have to be talking with him, have to be in communion with him. And so the fact that Simeon is even able to hear and to understand and to go, yes, that is the Lord that has spoken to me to tell me to go to the temple, we know that he was a man. Again, he was a man who was after God's own heart. He's a man after God's own heart. And so verse 26, again, promise, the promise. 27, the prompting. And when we look from 27 on to 32, we're going to see this, the fulfillment of the Lord, the fulfillment of the Lord. Verse 27, so we came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. So Simeon goes into the temple as he was led by the Spirit, as he was prompted to by the Spirit, okay? And Mary and Joseph enter this part of the story, right? And they come in and they're bringing baby Jesus. They bring baby Jesus into the temple. And I just want to give a little background, okay? Because we didn't start earlier on in Luke because we didn't have, I know I would have talked up here forever. So Mary and Joseph had already previously, they had already circumcised Jesus on the eighth day. That was something that they did, that the Jews, that they observed, right? And circumcision, for those of you guys who don't know, it was a sign of the covenant that God made with Abraham way back in the book of Genesis. And so to have a child circumcised, it was like a sign, or not a child, but people as well. It was a sign of being a part of God's covenant people. And so Jesus had already been circumcised on the eighth day. But there were still more things that these families had to practice and had to observe. And one of them is found in the Old Testament book of Leviticus. We're not going to flip there. But one of them says that a mother that has a male child had to wait 40 days before entering into the temple. And only after the 40-day period were the days of her purification fulfilled. Right? And so after 40 days, Jesus was born, they're going into the temple. The days were already fulfilled for Mary's purification. And let's go to verse 28. Right as the scene's unfolding, he says, he took him up. So Simeon takes up Jesus in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples. A light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. So Simeon, again, God-fearing man, right? Waiting for the Lord. Someone who is in tune with God's Spirit, prepared for the coming of the Messiah, sees this baby enter the temple. Sees this baby enter the temple. And guys, we just have to imagine just for a second, like what this meant to Simeon. Now, I don't know if you guys have ever been, like, you're in the Word and you're reading the Bible and God gives you something. Do you know what I mean? Like, you read it and God gives you something, or you go and you get confirmations from all these different avenues and you're like, God, like, he promised, you know, he gave me a promise or something like that, right? He's given me a promise and you hold on to it and you hold on to it for dear life. And especially in those seasons where it's like, it's dark and you're like, God, what are you doing? And where are you at? You know what I mean? Like we've had those moments. Simeon was given a promise. Again, we don't know how long Simeon waited for this promise to come to pass, but we know that, again, he was somebody who was waiting for the promise. And here comes this child. Here comes Mary and Joseph holding Jesus, right? He's been waiting to see the Messiah, the consolation of Israel, for, again, I don't know how long. But what's interesting is it appears as soon as he sees Jesus, he knows. Like, he immediately knows it's him, right? And what does he do? It says he runs over. I don't know if he runs over. He might book it. Who knows? But he goes over and he picks up Jesus and he holds him. What does that even look like? You know what I mean? You're holding a baby. This is God. You're seeing God. You're feeling his heartbeat. You're hearing him, the little baby coos, right? You're hearing all this stuff. And it's like, this is good. This is the one who's gonna save and make everything better. Not just better, but right. This is him. I cannot begin to imagine that moment. I cannot begin to imagine that. So he picks up Jesus, and again, here is where we see the fulfillment of the promise. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. And did we catch what he said in verse 28? It says he took him up in his arms and blessed God. He took him up in his arms and blessed God. Simeon is not even able to help himself. This promise was fulfilled. Simeon, in my mind, he is ecstatic. He's stoked, and he just erupts in praise, blessing the Lord. And I love this because this is such a perfect picture for the believer here. When God does anything in our life, right, that we should be people who are just literally bringing the praise or giving the praise right back to him. God, thank you. Thank you for doing that. I love that. And I love the fact, again, and I've brought this up, but we don't know how much time he waited. Okay, Jonathan, I think a couple weeks ago, brought up the fact where he's like, I do not like waiting, right? He's like, and my wife can attest to this too. We have a microwave. I throw the popcorn in there. 3 minutes. If that bad boy's not there, I'm not eating it, right? It's 3 minutes, okay? We don't know how long Simeon had to wait, but he waited. He trusted. He knew, was waiting with expectation that it would come to pass, and it did. Now I want to kind of switch gears real quick because Joseph and Mary just walked into the temple at this point, right? So imagine Joseph and Mary. We need to go back a little bit in Luke. I'm just going to kind of paraphrase it right here. But Mary has already, an angel already appeared to Mary, had said, "Hey, Mary, you're with child. It's God's." You're with child. And one day this child is going to save his people. One day this child is going to save his people. So after that, they leave Nazareth. They go to Bethlehem. Mary's pregnant. She has Jesus, right, in the manger. We know this. And as Mary and Joseph are sitting or standing, whatever that looks like, and they're looking at Jesus, they're looking at God incarnate, they're looking at him, wondering and meditating and going, man, they're teenagers at this point. They're kids. And they're going, this is a lot. This is a lot right now. What am I going to do, right? And they're looking, and I just can't imagine that. And as all this is going on in their mind, shepherds, they start strolling in. Bottom of the barrel in society's eyes, shepherds. They come in, and I picture them being like out of breath. They are stoked out of their minds of what they had just heard and seen. And this is actually Bill, when he does the shepherd, this is the story that he goes through right here. So I definitely encourage you guys to check that out. But these shepherds are just amazed. And they go, "Mary, Joseph, like you need to hear this. You're not going to believe what I just saw, what I just heard." Okay, we were tending our flock and our sheep. We're just doing our normal thing, right? It's a normal night at wherever, right? It's a normal thing. And out of nowhere, this angel comes, boom, on the scene. Glory of the Lord shining down all around him in that dark countryside, just lighting up that whole place, and says, "Hey, don't be alarmed. Like, don't freak out." Okay, you know what I mean? Like, boom, I can't imagine that happening. Don't freak out. Don't be alarmed. In fact, be excited, for today was born the one. Today was born the one that would come to save, the one that was prophesied about, the Christ. And the shepherds, after this, I can imagine Mary and Joseph, their mouths are just, dropping a little bit more and more and more. I already thought we saw enough. I thought we already seen it, right? But no, now these shepherds are coming in, and they're on a good one, right? They're just going for it, and they're just saying all this different stuff. But they don't stop there. And then Mary and Joseph, they're probably like, "Oh my gosh, that's awesome." They're like, "No, there's more. Baby Jesus, listen up. Like, you need to understand this. Listen, after this happened, okay, shepherd, we're looking in the angels right here, and then there's like a whole host of angels, heavenly beings, and they're all praising God for bringing about the Messiah. They're praising him, and I mentioned this in the high school service a couple weeks ago, but it would almost be as if our dimension was peeled open, like a banana peel, right? And these shepherds were given eyes to be able to see what was going on in heaven at the time, and heaven was erupting in praise. It's amazing. It's an absolutely amazing reality to think about that. Like, what would that have been like to look at that, to gaze upon that? Those shepherds, like, their lives are changed forever. You know what I mean? And so all of these things, okay, all these things have transpired, and they're going, they're probably tired, right? Jesus is still a baby. He might have been crying. I don't know. And they're going to the temple, and they're holding the baby, going to the temple. And a man who, again, I don't know, but there's nothing in the Bible that says that they've met before. Maybe they've had. But this man, Simeon, as they're walking into the temple, just pulls one of these, goes over there and takes the baby and just starts holding him, right? And so, I can't imagine what's going on in Mary and Joseph's mind. Was this an added, like, well, of course they're going to take the baby, or of course he's going to take the baby. Everything else has been crazy and awesome and weird. Or were they like, no, let go, you know what I mean? I don't know. But this is what's crazy. When I'm thinking about this, I'm seeing Simeon. Here's the point. Simeon waited and waited and waited, and it finally happened. It finally happened. And so I see Simeon just like stoked. "I'm going to take this baby, I'm going to hold him, and I'm looking at him, and this is amazing. God, this is your promise. I'm holding your promise. Not only am I seeing the promise come to pass, I'm holding it. I'm a part of this promise. This is amazing. This is great," right? He had seen the Savior. He had seen the consolation of Israel, the messianic hope, the Christ, the Messiah that so many other people before him had longed to see. And I get to see him and I get to hold him. This is insane, right? Have you guys ever waited for something for such a long time that when it finally comes to pass, it's almost like too much? Do you know what I mean? That was like when I got married about 7 months ago. It was what we were waiting for, you know, for such a long time, and it was the engagement period and all this stuff, and then we're married, and I was like, yeah, I'm not going to try to do a backflip, but that's how I felt. It was awesome. Totally awesome. And so I see Simeon, case in point. Dude's excited, obviously. He's coming. He's taking babies from people. It's like he is excited, right? And as soon as this promise was fulfilled, he picks Jesus up. And again, it says in verse 29, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. And I just want to ask you guys a question. If God had come to you, or if God came to you tonight and said, listen, you will not die until this certain event takes place. I'm not going to have you guys raise your hands, so don't worry. I wonder how many of us would be looking forward to that event and how many of us would fear that event taking place. Does that make sense? And it's really interesting because when we look here and based upon what we just read, the passage that we just read, if we were to ask Simeon, Simeon would say he's looking forward to that event, looking forward to that day. Look in verse 29, what he says again. You are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. God, thank you for bringing about the fulfillment of your word like you promised me. Thank you. Now I can depart in peace. This is what's crazy. Simeon was ready to die. And this is not a escapism. He's not going, my life is horrible. I want to get out of here. He was so fulfilled in his soul, in his heart, to the max, he was ready. He was absolutely ready. And what's really interesting is as I was studying this, the word depart in Greek, and I'm not even going to try to pronounce it, but it's way deeper and it has a lot more meaning than the way that we would use depart, like, oh, we're leaving, we're departing. I want to just read a couple of these, just little definitions of this, and I think it really gives just this part a dynamic, right? It could mean to release a prisoner, to unite a ship and to set sail, or to unyoke a beast of a burden. And I love the idea of all three of those because it's deeper than just like, oh, I'm ready to leave. You know what I mean? I'm ready to leave. I love the idea of all three of these. And then verse 30, one more time, 30-32, he says, For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. My eyes have finally seen what you have promised me. Finally. This salvation that you will make, and I love what it says here. It's not just for Israelites, it's for Gentiles, it's for everybody. This salvation that you've made available, that you will make available through Jesus Christ to everybody, you've granted me to see, to gaze upon, to hold, right? I'm ready to depart now. I'm ready to depart in peace. I'm ready to be released from this prison, in a sense. I'm ready to set sail, God. I'm ready to be stripped of my burdens. I love that idea. I am ready to go. One commentator said this, John Phillips, he put it, death was no longer a devourer, but a deliverer. And I think that's just like beautiful. Simeon was not fearing this event taking place. He had been looking forward to this thing the whole time. Now, it doesn't say that, hey, you've seen Jesus and now next day you're not waking up. You know what I mean? It doesn't say that, but that was the point where it was, now you've seen, now all bets are off. You know what I mean? You're on your own, but you know what I mean. So verse 26, again, we see the promise. Verse 27, we see the prompting. And in verse 28 through 32, we see the fulfillment of the Lord. And honestly, guys, we don't know much else about Simeon. It goes on a couple verses later, but we don't have that in here tonight. But there's not much that we know, again, about Simeon other than what we just read, what was revealed. But something's really interesting. We can learn a lot from this guy's character. Truly, we can learn a ton from this guy. I just want to list two of them because I feel like these are the two strongest points. Number one, Simeon was a man of faith, and we might go, well, duh, of course he was a man of faith, right? But as we went through this section of scripture, we saw time and time again how Simeon reacted in all these different situations. He trusted God. He believed in the scriptures, and that's what prompted him to even wait for the Messiah in the first place. And then after he's already been waiting for this Messiah, God comes to him, promises him that you will see the Messiah, and he believes it in faith, believes it. In faith, when God speaks to him, that still small voice speaks to him and tells him, hey, you need to go to the temple. What does he do? He goes. He believes. He's in tune with God's spirit. It's almost like a radio frequency, right? God's always speaking to us. We got to be tuned into that right frequency. He believed God. Listened to the Spirit's prompting. And finally, when all that came about and there was that fulfillment and that just, oh my gosh, this is amazing. I can't believe I got to see this promise come to pass exactly the way that he said. He rejoices. He rejoices in faith. And again, he rejoices knowing that when he goes home, whenever that was, however long, you know, time passed before he stepped into eternity, he knew that on the other side was waiting him something far greater than anything he's ever experienced here on earth. And like Simeon, guys, God calls us to be men and women of faith, of bold faith. Men and women who trust God, who trust his word. Okay, God's word's not going anywhere and it's not changing. Our emotions, my goodness, you know what I mean? Like up and down, like a roller coaster. God has called us to be men and women of faith, people that believe the promises of God, even if we're in a season of waiting, even if we're in a season where we're going, God, I don't understand you right now. Why would you let this happen? How are you continuing to let these things happen? Or maybe some of you guys look at the events going on in the world and you're going, God, how? You know what I mean? How are you good? Why would you allow these things to happen? Faith in Jesus waits in those storms. Faith in Jesus believes God's promises in the midst of those storms. Faith believes the promises of God. Faith waits for the promises of God. And faith rejoices when these promises are fulfilled. Faith in Jesus, not faith in faith, not just, oh, I have faith. Because I don't really know what that means when people say, I just have faith. Well, have faith in what, right? In yourself? I don't want faith in myself, right? I want faith in Jesus. I love that. So guys, if you came in here tonight burdened, and what's so interesting is talking to people around the holidays. We always talk about it within church that it's a joyous time, right? The reason for the season, Jesus. And yet, so many of us, Christian and non-Christian, we're nothing but burdened this time of year. And it blows my mind. Not like it blows my mind because I've seen myself in this as well, so I'm not above it in any way. But if you guys came in burdened tonight, maybe you're burdened with things like, you're like, you know what? I don't have as much money as I've wanted to spend on other people for gifts. That's a thing. Or I have an impossible, here's a good one, okay, because this is all of us, right? I have an impossible to-do list before Christmas comes, and we're just burdened, and we're bogged down. And instead of being joyous about this season and joyous about what the Lord has for us in this season, we are distracted, and we're just burdened. And maybe some of you guys, and this is a really rough one, but maybe you guys are burdened and feeling extremely down, depressed about the fact, like the memories of lost loved ones that the holidays inevitably bring. You know what I mean? Like, and that's brutal if you guys are there. But I just wanted to say, if that's you, if you came in here carrying any burdens whatsoever, and I have to believe that every one of us did, because we're humans, right? All of us have these things that we carry upon our backs. But take heart and remember the promises of God. Remember that he is with you, okay? Not just in this Christmas season, but he is with you. He is with you. This is why we make such a huge deal of Emmanuel. Why? God with us, right? God is with us. Man, God is with us. And I love, again, I started off and I talked about, you know, Bill and Jonathan and Jeff. And last Sunday, again, Jeff saying God didn't just come for everybody. I mean, he did. He came for mankind. He came for the sins of the world. But he came for you. He came for you, knows you, knows your heart, knows your struggles. And he came for you 100%. Again, I want to read that again. Faith believes the promises of God, waits for the promises of God, and rejoices when those promises come to pass. Simeon exemplified those things. He was a man of faith. So number one, Simeon was a man of faith. Lastly, number two, Simeon was a man whose heart was prepared for the Lord's coming. He had a heart prepared. He was ready. God, I'm ready for you to come. I'm ready for this promise to come to pass. He looked unto God. He was looking at God. He didn't lose sight of what was going on. Okay, and I know a lot of us will go, well, hey, you have no idea how busy my life is and all the different things that I go through. Okay, Simeon, living in that time, in that culture, okay, it wasn't an easy time. He was going through things as well. You have to imagine that we've all been going through things. But he had a heart that was completely prepared. His eyes were locked on God, locked on. And again, I said that around this time, this Christmas season, a lot of us are weighed down a lot. And I just wrote a couple of these down. These are the ones that I get all the time when it comes to the Christmas season, of reasons like when you go up to somebody, like, how you doing? They're like, I am burdened, or I'm not doing so well, man. These are the things that I hear all the time. Coming about Christmas cards, you know, I didn't send my Christmas cards out. This is going to be the worst. Or I got my pictures back. There's a smudge on every one. You're not going to believe the red eye on this picture. You know what I mean? And it's like, we get so like, oh my gosh, this is horrible, right? Like, this is some serious stuff. Shopping. Okay, just real quick, show of hands. We're all family here, so it's good. It's good. It's brothers and sisters. Who has done their shopping already? I just want to see. Just own it. You guys are on it. Okay. Who still needs to do their shopping? Okay. All right. Who has not, and own it, please. It's okay. Safe place. Who has not even started yet? Oh, my people. Okay, there it is. There it is. Okay, but we get so like, you know what I mean? We get so stressed about these different things. This is a crazy one. Family get-togethers. These are supposed to be awesome, right? And it's like, but I'm late, and my car, and this is, it's so stressful. Don't they know how busy I am? And it's like, this is the things, if we're not vocalizing them, they're up here, and sometimes in our heart as well. You know what I mean? We get so stressed out. The last one I know we can all relate to, trying to see The Last Jedi for the third time before Christmas, right? I know. Just messing. My whole point, we can take our eyes off of the Lord. We take our eyes off of the reason that we even celebrate Christmas, and we put them onto other things. Things that are not, like, they're little in comparison. They're little. Simeon had a heart that was prepared. Again, he was looking unto God, and that was exemplified, and we saw that play out in the way he lived his life, just even in the short verses right there. Jesus came over 2,000 years ago, God clothing himself in human likeness, in humanity. And just as sure as he came the first time, he promises that he will come again. We know this. He promises that he will come again. And I would just say, guys, I don't want us to miss out like twofold. Simeon had a heart that was prepared for the Lord's coming. I want us, not just, I know God wants us to have a heart that is prepared for what he has for us in this given season. Some of you earlier on raised your hands and said, yes, I've grown up in church. So you guys have heard the gospel 1.5 million times, and you've read the Christmas accounts and story 1 million times. And what we do sometimes is we kind of close ourselves off to what God wants to say to us, either like a new thing, or he wants to refresh our memory. He wants to. And I would say, don't miss out on what God's trying to tell you this season. And secondly, in this, don't miss out on like what God's doing right now. Do you know what I mean? God's doing a ton. God will come back. Jesus will come back. Reality. People say, oh, I don't know if I believe it. It doesn't change the fact that it's truth. Jesus is coming back. My challenge for us tonight, as we close, my challenge for us tonight, let's not be people who are characterized by the non-essentials, by the minors. Do you guys get what I'm saying? By the things that aren't of eternal worth. Let's not be people who celebrate cultural Christmas, where it's really just about the presents. It's not what it's about. Let's not be people who do that, okay? Getting lost in things that aren't of eternal worth, but let's be people who go back to the very root of why we celebrate in the first place, right? John 3:16, we all know this one. You guys probably knew it when you were 4 years old. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever should believe in him should not perish but have eternal life, right? Everlasting life. God, the creator of the universe, humbled himself. Jonathan Trask, when we saw the children's ministry have their play, which is awesome if you guys were here, it's totally awesome. But Jonathan had a devo afterwards, and he was talking about the fact that God, the creator, that has zero limitations, came down and limited himself as a baby. Can't speak, you can't, man, limited himself. And he did it so he could identify with you, where you guys were at, so he could identify with me. And one other thing, one other reason of why we celebrate Christmas, which is so amazing, is because of what it points towards. It points towards the cross, right? We know this. We can't have the Christmas story without the gospel, and we cannot have the gospel without the Christmas story. Do you know what I mean? They're so intertwined. They cannot be separated. And I love that. I love that, right? Where this baby that was in the manger, the shepherds, all of this, it culminates in this baby Jesus growing up, walking, living a perfect, sinless life because he knew that you and I could not. He knew that we were incapable of living that life. And then he would go on and he would die a brutal death. And really, it was a death that every single person in this room deserved because we're sinners and we've sinned against a holy God, a righteous God. He knew where we were at, knew our hearts, knew our condition. He said, I'm coming for you. Just like Jeff said, right? I'm coming for you, Emmanuel, God with us. Amazing. So guys, let's be people like Simeon who are filled with faith, regardless of where we're at in our lives right now. Bold faith, holding on to the promises that God has given you, holding on to the promises that God has within the scriptures. Bold faith. Let's be people who believe the promises of God. And let's be people who have our hearts prepared for what God, again, wants us to see for this Christmas season and also looking forward to when he comes back for us. Have a heart that is truly prepared. Where right now, again, he's in heaven. He's preparing a place for us. One day we can say like Simeon, I am ready to depart in peace, right? I'm ready to set sail. I'm ready to go. And it's amazing because that place is unhindered fellowship with the God who gave absolutely everything for us. Let's pray. Father God, Lord, I thank you for, God, I just thank you for your presence. I thank you, God, that no matter how bad we mess up, and man, do we mess up, that you promise that you'll never leave us, that you'll never forsake us. God, I thank you that you did come down. And Lord, I just pray for the people in here. I feel like, God, for people in here that are doubting, maybe doubting your goodness. God, doubting if you're even there, doubting if your love is even there anymore, doubting if you're even listening to them anymore. Father, I pray that you would just work in them a mighty faith. God, please make us people like Simeon that just have faith, that believe and trust and wait for the promises, for your promises, Lord, to come to pass. Father, we love you. Meet us again in a fresh way this season. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Set free my heart.